I'm back. Woohoo! Scott, we are back with another episode of the Sports Bar Podcast. I'm a year older. You are almost a year older as of tomorrow. The sign behind you gives it away. Happy birthday, Scott. I want to say from the bottom of my heart, after the bullshit you talked about me last night on the podcast of making a big deal about my birthday, you have a sign up telling our listeners that it's your birthday today.
Well, I figure if you were going to be such a diva last week, then I could deserve to be a tiny bit of a diva this week. But, you know, happy belated to you as well, since, you know, I didn't get to see you in your birthday week, you know, but there you go. You got your Tiger Woods Nike golf hat on.
That's right.
One of your ways to
my Monday blue. You know, he wears the Sunday reds. I'm in my Monday blues.
Exactly.
So, Scott, I also want to say on the birthday note, last week, I want to explain to our listeners.
Are you defending yourself here?
Okay, so there were a lot of factors. One, I felt like shit all weekend after I laid more sod, believe it or not. And I was like, man, these allergies are killing me. And then 2 days of allergies make you think, oh, okay, I got a cold. Day three of allergy or cold, you immediately are like, oh my God, I got the Rona. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, this is such a weird day and age to be sick, because you can't just have something normal working. You know, you can't have a sore throat without thinking, I'm done for.
You didn't go sit in line to get tested, did you?
No. 2 days later, I was fine.
Okay.
I'm saying it was a mental
nerve
to where every symptom I had was just your average normal cold that you've fought every year, once a year for your whole life. You know, it's weird to get it in the summer, as I had to explain to you as possible.
I learned something. I didn't realize that colds were prevalent in the summertime, because I just assumed you hear the term cold and flu season, and that's always like the winter. So
right.
Look at me
learning
things.
Cold is just the name of a sickness. It's not like you're actually chilly. So, but anyway, I just felt off all weekend last weekend, and then Monday still didn't feel right. So I did everyone a favor by not being on the podcast, because I would have sounded like I had my nose plugged the entire time. So you're welcome for that.
Yeah, and well, good. Thanks.
And then my birthday was Tuesday, because we have birthday week, just like Big Cat and PFT on a part of my take.
Wow, I never even made that connection. We are also podcast host with a birthday week.
We have a birthday week, and I didn't think about it till today when I remembered that the 30th is your birthday. So I got excited about that. Next year, we need to make it a much bigger deal now that we've discovered something we've known for years.
It's taken us this long. And a special shout out to non-podcast host, but third member of the 2 week stretch of birthdays sequentially 7 days apart, former neighbor Greg. Because his is exactly 7 days after mine.
Has no idea this podcast exists either.
Mine's 7 days after yours. His is 7 days after mine. And we used to just have neighborhood. It was just like three straight weeks of getting
hot dogs and hamburgers.
And
three straight weeks in a row.
Yeah, pool visits and
pool days. Yep.
And softball. You know, stuff like that.
That's all it was. It was like, hey, let's do the same thing, same place next week.
Yeah, exactly.
That was it. But yeah, I did. I obviously wasn't sick enough to where, like I said, it's a total mental thing. You're like, I definitely have coronavirus. It's been 3 days of not feeling right. But I also played golf. So I somehow mustered up the energy to get through that in 102 degrees.
Man, you are, thank you for your service. What a warrior.
It was tough, but had a good weekend. We went out on the boat, partied a lot, had the ice mule cooler packed last weekend, 3 days straight for Father's Day weekend. Although I wasn't feeling great, I still had a couple cold beverages, which was awesome. Even when it was cold waters, I had them in my ice mule cooler. It's just so convenient. I can't even get over it. I used mine last week for my road trip. There you go. I went to a slip and slide party. One of my friends bought like the big deal slip and slides, you know, not like just a tarp in the lawn.
right.
And she had
the inflatables.
You know, yeah. Right. The big ones that you rent. So we were over there, and I roll up with my ice mule cooler, have it packed to the brim, again, with my coronavirus, so I obviously wasn't that sick, but went out there and set it on the porch, and she's like, oh, how do you like yours? I just got that for my husband. I'm like, these things are a huge deal. I loved it. So it's just free advertising everywhere I go, but I'm not even selling to people. Everyone has one.
Yeah. I Who did I tell about it last week or something? I think I used it and somebody saw and they're like, "Ooh, how do you like it?" And I said it was good again. I took it up on my road trip, so it was with me this past week as I went on a quick, can I do that in air quotes, little it was quick in time frame. It was not quick in distance, but it was great when I was up in the mountains for a little bit, and then saw a couple of friends at a little backyard party one day up in the great state of Ohio.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I love how you say that. Yeah, I just went with my buddies for a cookout this weekend. It just happened to be in Ohio, and I
drove to Ohio for a cookout and came home.
Hey, y'all are cooking out? Oh, okay, yeah, I'll head up. Yeah, like as if you did what I did and drove to Riverside.
Right.
You know, 15 minutes away.
Well, I mean, tell you what, 12 hours, a little over 12 hours in the vehicle. Today, as we're recording this, I got to say, I think that makes me a little more of a warrior than you. You had the sniffles and I drove for 12 and a half hours and I'm still podcasting.
You know, I flipped on the podcast last week and when you started, you kind of opened with me being a diva, like, am I going to wear the birthday sash? I started laughing. I thought it was great. So you got me pretty good. But Scott, I really mean it. Happy birthday. Love this birthday week.
Same to you.
All of June feels like a party because it's my birthday, it's your birthday, and then it rolls into 4th of July. I mean, you can't ask for a better recipe for the summer.
And it's summer. And like, we got to do some things to make us feel good because the news isn't getting any better on certain fronts. It is getting a little better on the sports front, we think and we hope, but we do have a few things like schedules, which are crazy. There's still plenty of time for their schedules to go wrong, but we have schedules. We have baseball saying they're back. There's still plenty of time for things to go wrong, but they're saying they're back. And then the NFL is rolling along business as usual.
Yeah. Still. I love their attitude. I wish everyone had that attitude so we could limit a little bit of fear in the beginning. I wish everyone from the beginning was just no comment. Just, what do you mean? We're going to play our games.
We'll watch and learn. We'll watch
and learn. Exactly. So I do have some breaking news. Well, I guess we're not breaking this. It happened over the weekend, but
I hope we're not breaking it to anybody.
No, we're not breaking any news, but I do want to know, I haven't been able to catch up with you as you've been in the mountains. You've been in Ohio. I've been, battling the Rona, but Cam Newton to the Patriots. What about that?
It's the most obvious long play that still somehow shocked people. I mean, didn't everyone immediately start joking when Tom Brady signed officially with the Bucs? And then a few of those other more minor QB dominoes fell, that the obvious next play was Cam Newton is released by the Panthers. Obviously, he's going to go to the Patriots now. It just took two months.
Mina Kimes on March 15th tweeted how, and I don't have it in front of me. I want to see if I screenshot it, and I did not. But so this isn't verbatim, but her tweet said essentially she posted a GIF, but it was also how classic that Brady walks, and you're telling me we just signed Cam Newton for league minimum? She tweeted that on 3:15, retweeted today, and was like, I'll be here for the comments.
she also, I listened to her podcast, and I listened to it on the way this morning, and she does the ESPN Daily podcast. And
no free plugs.
She gave herself a little props. She inserted her own, because she did like a hit on Highly Questionable and said the same thing months
ago. Dude, she's a cool cat. I like her.
She's really good.
Is her podcast good?
Yeah. ESPN Daily. It's like 25 minutes. Here we are. Look. You just said no free plugs, and here I am plugging it.
I got her pulled up too. Yeah. Should we
20 to 25 minutes on on one pertinent sports story a day? It's a perfect little thing for the for those with the short attention span.
Wow. Okay. I recommend that. So it's every day.
Yeah. Monday through Friday. They take Monday the weekends through Friday. Off.
Right. Well, I'll tell you. This is an unrelated note. I have a weird attraction to her.
Mina Kimes? No, she's cute.
Yeah. No, she just like, she to me looks very unique. And every time she comes on Around the Horn, I say that exact quote. I say, I got a weird attraction to her. And Ashley's like, you say that every single time. I'm like, no, I'm just saying, I don't know what it is about her. I'm intrigued by her look. Let me see where I can find this and then I'll read it exactly because it was mind blowing. But as I'm pulling it up, Scott, it's what a perfect match because Brady was old. Brady was on his way out. We knew he wanted out. We felt the separation. Could they have had a better QB come in and reinvigorate than a guy that has a chip on his shoulder, that has previous pedigree and performance that we've seen? He has an MVP season under his belt, for God's sake. He has a Super Bowl appearance under his belt. He really didn't have any weapons in Carolina. I mean, Greg Olsen was constantly hurt. He had young receivers in Curtis Samuel and DJ Moore. What's his name? The kid from – I think it's definitely Moore. DJ Moore. Anyway.
You could have told me they had Bob Smith lining up a wide receiver, and I'd have believed you. They have it's such a hello, my name is group usually.
And they pretty much did. And now we have a guy that's coming in completely motivated – with a coaching staff that is knows how to do it. I mean, this spells trouble for the AFC East. This is wild that we just had people acting like the Patriots were on their way to tanking to now they're now third in the AFC power poll in Vegas as far as odds for a Super Bowl.
Okay, I would go with both of those things being overreactions. Number one, no team coached by Bill Belichick, especially one – with all that we've heard about how the Brady-Belichick divorce was very much two-sided, like Belichick was kind of, a lot of rumors are that he kind of wanted to prove that he could do it without Brady and really cement his own legacy there, and this is his opportunity to do that. So you know he's not doing it just so he can try and get the number one overall pick, you know? And the other part of that is, okay, the Patriots team last year with a Hall of Famer at quarterback got bounced in the first round of the playoffs and never looked all that good all year long and looked really bad in that playoff game. So Cam Newton, yes, it's...
Defense carried him in the beginning of the season.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. But and I do think they have some weapons, more than it seemed last year. But, I mean, Cam Newton... He's only 31, but he's like an old 31. Like if Tom Brady is able to play into his 40s because he takes care of himself and he never gets hit and he does the TB12 method and all that stuff. I mean, Cam Newton's just been a bulldozer since he was in high school, and his body is a huge part of his game, and his body has quite frankly failed him for the last couple of years. Foot injury, shoulder injury. He has not played really to a high level since probably 2017. I mean, that's 3 years ago. His MVP season is now 5 years removed. And outside of that season, I mean, he was unbelievable that year. He's not been that level of good at any other point.
Well, guy that we both really like is Russillo. And I just coincidentally listened to a podcast of his maybe 2 months ago now, where he did a quarterback breakdown, and he really highlighted how that Cam Newton MVP season was an extreme outlier.
Yeah.
It's not the norm, but it still means it's in that guy, which is why Joe Flacco got paid so many times.
Right. I mean, I think it's intriguing. I just don't think that all of a sudden they're like Super Bowl favorites or some. I mean, look at there are other teams that I think are still clearly better than them in the AFC to contend with. I mean, they're not. Cam Newton isn't Pat Mahomes. Pat Mahomes is light years better than Cam Newton right now. And we just still don't know, you know, why didn't Cam Newton sign before this? Everybody said it's because nobody could get him in for a physical, and they wanted to see if the guy was healthy. So I'm curious. That's the question I have. If he's ready to go, I 100% believe that Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick are going to put him in the best situation to succeed. I have no doubt about that. It's just, will he be ready to go, and can he hold up for the entirety of a season, which he has not been able to do for the last few years?
No, and that's going to be the storyline moving forward, but we do see him upgrading in a coaching staff and in talent, whether it's Sony Michel, Julian Edelman, Mohamed Sanu on the outside. I mean, they have pieces there. I'm not saying they're elite, but then they also have a great defense as well as just a winning way about them to where they know how to do it. And I think in a division that has constantly been all three other teams, that is, as far as the Jets, Dolphins, Bills, they've been the little brother this whole time. The last thing they needed is an offseason where their confidence is ruined before kickoff. They immediately are like, oh, damn, now we got to deal with them again. Because before, everything felt new. Everything felt like an opportunity to them with the Patriots. Jared Stidham didn't scare anyone. He might end up being a great quarterback, but he didn't scare anyone on the Bills defense, I promise you. Everyone else now is saying, all right, well, now we got to see what Cam's all about. Because he might be injured, and he might be a shell of himself. And then the Bills win the division, so be it. But right now, it's theirs to lose, right?
That's a great question. It's one of those, do you sit there and it's like the Alabama effect, right? Do you sit there and say,
yes, it's
do you
very
want to
similar.
Do you want to be trendy, or do you just want to say, until somebody gets them, I'm not going to believe that they're going to be got? And that's probably still the better play, just because of the fact that they're just still, I mean, Belichick's still there. Like, they just did just make the playoffs last year.
There.
I mean, it's not like they were a 5-12 team that lost Tom Brady. I mean, they were a playoff team last year still, and they won the division. But I do think that it shouldn't change the mindset too much of these other teams in the league if they have the right thought about it, then they'll have a chance to win it. If they're sitting there intimidated now, then they're not going to have a chance to win it anyway because they're soft or whatever. But if you're the Bills, you should be chomping at the bit. The Dolphins are going to be frisky. The Jets are the Jets, so who the heck knows about them? But
right.
It's not going to be the – I'll put it this way. I'm less concerned about the other teams and what they're thinking about. It's more like, how will the Patriots handle the fact that I don't think this is going to be the normal – cakewalk like it has been the majority of the last 13 years.
They're not coming out
years.
The gates going 7-0 like they did last year based on defensive play.
Right.
Against poor quarterbacks.
And it's going to be a battle, I think, for especially four of those division games. Again, I might can't count out the Jets right now, but we know they struggle in Miami every year. I know the Bills are going to give them their best punch, and they're arguably as good, if not better.
And they've been trying. Yeah, that's a loaded roster that Buffalo has. Really talented secondary. So that's going to help. Josh Allen's the question mark there. How awesome would it be, though, if Cam Newton wore 12? I want it so bad.
I want him to go back to 2. I loved when he wore 2 in college. And 1's just a weird – like, nobody wears
– in the pros?
No one wears 1 in general. So it's always kind of weird, but –
isn't it odd? 1 is such a coveted number in college. Usually your
everybody
star athlete wants 1. You got a DB and a receiver because they both want it so bad. They both split it and have dual numbers. And then in the pros, it just doesn't exist. I mean,
like
single digits. Single digits don't even look right on quarterbacks. Like Matt Ryan pulls off the 2. Cam Newton's 1 is like, well, Cam Newton was such a superstar in a media figure also, to where it was like, okay, I guess he can wear 1 because he can do whatever he wants.
I mean, I would argue the single digits look pretty. I mean, Brett Favre in the 4, Drew Brees in the 9, John Elway in the 7. There's a lot of guys.
I misspoke because I literally was picturing 1 and 2. Because
those numbers are a little more rare.
Because like 3, John Kitna was always normal. Russell Wilson, that looks normal to me. Carson Palmer back in the day at 9, Big Ben at 7, and 3, yes, back with the Cardinals 3.
And his short stint with the Raiders.
Oh, I didn't even remember he was there.
He got traded from the Bengals to the Raiders and lasted like one season.
Resurrected with the Cardinals. Yeah, okay, I forgot all about that.
Yeah, well,
I do
very
remember it now that you say that. But
very
yeah.
Forgettable.
Okay, so I take it back. Number 1 and number 2 are college coveted numbers that I don't see in the pros.
Do you think Jameis goes back to 5 with the Saints?
I think I saw his did I not see him in number 3 still there?
I don't know if anybody's putting out number stuff. I haven't seen
wrong.
But I may have missed it.
I may be wrong.
I mean, Teddy Bridgewater wore 5 and now he's gone. So
yeah.
If I'm Jameis, I go back to what worked. Obviously the 3 didn't.
That's for sure.
Go back to the five. You won a national title and a Heisman Trophy
for 30 picks. That's what
it
was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right, yeah.
Oh, so, all right. Would you let me rant on Patriots?
Four is yours. Four is yours.
Yesterday, I have the beeper ready. I'm sorry. I don't know how to say it without cussing, but who in the fuck thought that the Patriots were going to tank? There's this narrative out there, whether it be Twitter by a bunch of dingleberries or CBS. That's what made me mad. Like, people on Twitter ranting, that happens all the time, or people coming up with all these narratives and it catching traction. That happens all the time. But have you seen this narrative where people expected the Patriots to tank for Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields?
I've seen a few things, yes. Clickbait, I mean, they may call it in the business.
Yeah, it certainly was. But CBS sent me a push notification with Newton in the fold. What's that mean on their chances to get Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields? Was the best head coach in NFL history ever going to tank? The whole reason that we were excited to see the Brady and Belichick divorce is to see what they each can do on their own. What can Belichick do with a team that doesn't have Tom Brady on it? And what can Tom Brady do on a team that isn't led by Bill Belichick? That was the whole point. So if you think the best, maybe most competitive guy in the whole wide world outside of Tom Brady himself is probably Bill Belichick, although he may be quiet behind a microphone, all the guys that have been in a locker room with him know how bad he wants it. And there's a reason that he's built that machine up in New England in Foxborough. He wants to win without Brady. He wants to prove he can do it without Brady. And if he could have done it with Stidham, he would have. He signed Cam Newton because he thinks it makes them better. And we see him cutting guys before they've hit their, right when they hit their prime, and you always wonder what he's doing, and then they go somewhere else and drop off. It always happens like that. And there's a reason he is literally a mad scientist. It's because he knows what he's doing. Why would you have ever thought that this guy was going to take a year off from that to get a college quarterback that may get hurt throughout the season, may not pan out and be a bust like we've seen 100 times? I mean, Ryan Leaf was a sure thing, right? That didn't work out. So right. I just can't understand the logic behind people that ever thought that Trevor Lawrence was going to a New England Patriots team that at worst, minus Cam Newton, in my opinion, would have been a 7-win team. That's not the first overall pick.
It's like, would you have ever expected a Phil Jackson coach team to tank? Like, it's like the same thing.
Exactly.
You know?
It doesn't make sense.
It's not in their DNA. They're not wired that way. There's a reason why they're so good at what they do. It's because they want to win and they put themselves in situations to win. And Belichick, for better or for worse, is a guy who's in charge of most of the personnel decisions there too. It is, some of the things haven't worked out, but I'll give him credit for the majority of those moves working out in the long term. Now we'll just have to see how this play works out. You know, if Brady stinks in Tampa and Cam Newton works out, then he'll go down as even more of a genius than he ever was before. But I think that's the play he wants to make. He wants to prove again how good that he is.
And you know he's chomping at the bit and as with this opportunity to build to his resume.
Yeah,
and build on his resume.
It's Kobe without Shaq. Can he win one?
That's a perfect analogy because that was maybe the most highlighted divorce among sports figures to where they were together. They're a totally different position and they gelled together so well on the court. They gelled together so well that when they broke up, everyone thought, can Kobe do it without the big diesel? Because that was the thing. Shaq is a center. They assumed where he'd go, he'd be able to continue success.
And he did.
And Kobe did as well, big time, by winning multiple rings after Shaq left.
Now, it took him a while, though. And I don't know if Belichick has as long as it took Kobe to get things going and win another championship. Because, I mean, Shaq left after the 2004 season, and Kobe's next title was in 2009. So,
was 2009 his first, the Magic game?
Yep. Yeah, that was his first that year. And
oh, that sucks. That hurts.
Yeah, yeah. I know. And then he got one more in 12 or 11. 11, I think it was. No, 10. Yeah. It was 10. Then went back to back, right?
Who would he have beat the second year?
Yeah, they beat the Celtics.
The
next year.
The loaded game Celtics
seven.
Team.
Yeah. Yes. Game seven. And they went seven games, yeah, and they beat them. And then the Celtics never were as good again, and the Lakers, well, they weren't as good again either. But yeah, here we are off on a basketball rant right now. Speaking of basketball, are you done with your rant? I don't want to cut
you
off.
No, I'm done. I'm done. Okay. Tell me about basketball.
We have a schedule in place, and Alex, it involves day basketball. Like, we're talking about all day long. We're talking about like March Madness type schedule, but for weeks potentially here with this thing playing out the way that it is currently scheduled to start on July the 30th. And with that, that means for our Ice's Mule Cooler's Cold as Ice segment, I got to put you on ice because unfortunately for you, you're back in the office. You don't have the opportunity to flip on that television and partake in this what potentially could be this menagerie of NBA basketball games on a daily basis to give us this enlightenment, this light at the end of the tunnel when it comes to late July, early August. Usually an absolute dead period in sports, could be absolutely loaded. And those like myself who are working from home may have the chance to really enjoy. I'll just send you some pictures while I'm watching some games. How about that?
Man, it's going to kill me. It's so tough because I could have the TV on in the background working from my laptop the entire day, starting at like noon. I mean, have you seen these games? It's like the tip-offs are midday. And like you said, they run until nighttime. It's going to be fantastic. I've already thought about it. I'm going to have to take a lot of lunch breaks. You know, bar lunch breaks.
I mean, it only lasts for the first couple of weeks until, you know, the playoffs get going and things start to pare down. But it's basically kind of like the NCAA tournament, right? Like those first couple of days. You wouldn't want it to go on like that for forever. I mean, that'd be overwhelming.
We've needed it so bad. Yeah. But at the same time,
you can't watch all that much.
Right, exactly. You cannot wake up every day and just be locked in on it.
I loved the PFT Harry Potter Triwizard Tournament comparison for the New Orleans Pelicans and their schedule as they're trying to get Zion into the playoffs. They don't play like a single team with a winning record, I think, in the in their quest to get back into the playoff picture. I mean, it was already set up and changed so that they could be included in this bubble. I mean, the cutoff didn't really make sense for them to be in there, but they're in there anyway.
Scott, how smart is Adam Silver, though? Really? I mean, everything he's done, he's the first. Let's remember, let's backtrack just 3 months ago now, 4 months ago. He's the first to cause this domino effect of closures in the sports world. The NBA season stopped. Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert. On the Jazz got coronavirus. Next day, they announced season suspended, then announced, you know, we're on hold. They never panicked. They just said, we're going to evaluate. He has great relationships with his players. He understands it's a superstar league. He tailors the league towards that. And now we see that more than ever in the way he said, yeah, we're going to have a showing. And I know if we do it off records, we probably can't get the Pelicans in. So we're going to make sure that Zion Williamson has a chance to shine because he's the future of the league.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Honestly, maybe some of the most fun parts will be that kind of frantic first couple of days where, I mean, I'll be watching Magic games because I'm a Magic fan, but really the most interesting thing will be to follow whether or not the Pelicans can make that jump over the couple of teams that are in front of them and snag that 8 seed.
Pelicans as far as like just turning on the TV. As you knew, I was gambling quite a bit on the NBA before it stopped.
Yep.
And I just started doing that this year. I'd never bet on the NBA before. Pelicans were kind of my team because their record obviously didn't look good on paper, but then they'd go face like a Lakers and they'd get a 9.5 point spread. They were covering it because they're bringing their A game, trying to prove it. They played really well, but team basketball down the stretch, and that's why I liked watching them so much. Zion is such a team player for being a superstar, and he's not a shooter in the sense that he's gonna be jacking up shots. So their ball movement's a lot of fun to watch. I like their team a lot.
Yeah, I mean it was huge, obviously, when they got him back from injury after he missed most of the beginning of the year, but. It'll be very interesting now to see No, he's a guy that has an interestingly shaped body, we'll put it that way. So what kind of shape will he and a lot of these other players be in? You know, that's my only, I guess, concern with this, because it feels like we're ramping things up quickly and not everybody has the same advantages. And then you have to, you know, factor in the fact that if somebody, what they may do, what if a guy gets, you know, coronavirus and he has to, you know, maybe they don't shut down everything, but he has to quarantine for a couple of weeks. So now he's behind schedule. Yeah. On getting ready, and maybe you rush back because you're trying, you know, you've got a limited window here, and then you tweak a hammy. You know, if you gamble on this stuff, it's going to be is going to be so many more question marks than usual, man.
There are going to be a lot of question marks, but that's just to get this season basically in the books and wrapped up, because we need it to be over. We need to get it done. Let it play out. Pretty much everyone wants to see, I mean, the storylines of this, the real storylines, are not about Zion Williams and is he going to be able to earn the 8 seed. Not about the Orlando Magic and is Markelle Fultz going to keep evolving. It's, are we going to see Giannis take the Bucks to the NBA Finals against LeBron? That's what it is. And then everyone on the West has its own storylines because the teams are so good over there. I mean, the Raptors on the East, of course, are going to try and defend their title, and they look great this year. But it's really coming down to, in the West, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George coming back from injury, post-quarantine, are they going to be able to dethrone LeBron and face Giannis in the East?
Should be entertaining. By the way, I mean, even if people aren't fans of the sport, just keep an eye on the headlines, because NWSL, the National Women's Soccer League, they became the first official team sport in the United States to come back to action on Saturday with their Challenge Cup that's going on in Utah. So it's basically the soccer version of what's going to happen with the NBA. They're in this bubble or clean site, whatever term you want to use. A team already had to back out because they had so many people test positive, the Orlando Pride. So that's going to be a guinea pig. You know, I'm sure these other leagues are going to be watching what happens there. MLS is scheduled to come back on July 11th with their own Challenge Cup of sorts down in Orlando as well.
Man,
so those are
going
to be
going on in Orlando.
Yeah. Yeah. So those are going to be interesting, just to, if nothing else, even if you're not concerned about the results, just keep an eye on how things happen, right? I mean, we've seen with NASCAR, we've seen with UFC, we've seen with horse racing and a few of these other things, how these kind of more individual based sports can go. And it's a lot easier if somebody, you know, if a fighter tests positive, he quarantines and that one fighter is out, right? Whereas it's a little bit different when you have team based stuff. So that'll be curious to keep an eye on, because I mean, the virus, very obvious, isn't going away anytime soon. So we kind of have to figure out
how
to
go the wrong way, for God's sake.
Right, right. So we had to kind of figure out how, if it's possible to manage, maneuver, manipulate around it, because you know, you gotta respect it. So I don't know. I'm just happy to see that after what was, I don't know, maybe 2 to 3 weeks where we felt like we were kind of going backward a little bit there. You know, at least in the world of sports, we've had some positive momentum in the right direction here in this last week alone.
We're not close enough to where I trust that it's going to happen.
No, I know.
That's what sucks.
It's cautious optimism. That's going to be our new term. Cautious optimism. So it's, I don't think it does anybody any good to just sit there and be sad, doom and gloom. That's just not good for your own psyche, right?
Like, well, and what we know to be true is this isn't a fan thing. Everyone wants sports back. Mm-hmm. They need to make money. The schools, I mean, pro, college, owners in MLB, you name it. This is a huge deal, getting sports back. Mm-hmm. You may think it's just a little hobby of some people's. It's a really big deal, and it's a money making machine, and they're trying to get it rolling. And once they get this thing going, their goal is much like golf, you know, where you got a guy here and there test positive. Yeah, you can't play this week, man. Sorry. You can't play the next 2 weeks. It just is what it is.
Yep.
And everyone understands that, and we're going to get going, and and I'm cautiously optimistic.
Can't wait to see the injury report come out with, you know,
COVID.
In parentheses.
Scott Manzi, broken fibula. Alex Turco, COVID.
I mean,
not to speak anything into existence. I'll knock on wood here.
I don't want to. I managed to survive hiking in the woods on my own without breaking any bones. So that's always.
Did you have cell service? Because I want to do a little parent. Okay. Well, Scott, as a parent, I want to tell you I'm pretty upset about that.
That I went off into the woods all on my own.
Yeah, you went off the grid by yourself.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, man. No.
I mean, I would have crawled to safety if I had injured myself.
What if a bear got your ass?
I mean, that's just, you know, nature versus nurture or whatever, you know. Food chain.
Always wins.
Christopher
Walken, Wedding Crashers.
Yeah.
Nature always.
Always wins. What? It's just like brown bears in there, so they're not aggressive. If you kind of show that you're not intimidated by them, they back off. I mean, it's not like we're talking about a
polar
bear.
Thank God you did your homework, man, because you
were Billy Football
there.
Did it for me, but
yeah, you trust
loves
him.
His bears. Yeah. No. They tell you all that stuff. It's all part of the plan out there, but
all part of the plan. All right. Well, good for you. I'm happy you're back.
Thanks. Yeah, it's good to be back.
Live to see. Hey, and I didn't say this at the top of the pod. This is the Dirty 30. You are a 30-year-old man.
Yeah, you know, tried to keep that under wraps. No, just kidding. It's
I know we were doing that.
Entering into the third decade. It's a milestone for many, including myself, I suppose. And
is it weird? Do you care? No big deal. Just another birthday, another day.
You know, here I am putting on my future hat, future Scott hat, because as of the time of recording this, I'm still 29, so I really don't know how it feels. But it is. I think I came to grips with it a couple, probably about a month or so ago. It was weird, like back in like the winter time when I, or like right when it turned into 2020, I was like, oh, this is the year that I turned 30. Yeah. And then I wasn't very happy about it for a while there, but now I'm like, yeah, you know,
it's just a number.
And it's sort of like you tell people you're 30 and I think there's like this respect thing to it. It's like, oh, you know what? You've done some things in life.
Right.
You know, when you're still in your 20s, people are like, you're still young. When you turn 30, it's like, all right, yeah, you've seen some things.
Right. Yeah, so, you're right about that. It sounds different.
Yeah, it sounds just like a different level of maturity. But
What do you say now that we're talking about scheduling?
Yeah.
And the 4th of July is upon us. Would you like to lead us into our very own quarantine draft?
How about
the return of the quarantine draft?
I will indeed. Yeah, the return of the two-man quarantine draft after my solo quarantine draft last week, of which you sort of helped by indirectly helping with your actions.
I told you to give me a call on the golf course and I'd give you my answers, but you took two very real answers.
Yeah, I figured I did. You know, as much positive stuff that has happened in the world of sports that we just documented, it is still going to feel a little empty on this 4th of July without baseball going on. And we already miss Father's Day without it and Mother's Day without it, which are other kind of key holidays where you're used to seeing baseball and some of the celebrations and things that go with it. So in the absence of baseball this 4th of July, I wanted to have a quarantine draft of like sporting events that are related to holidays, like the ones that you kind of, I don't want to say you set your calendar around, but every holiday you're like, you know what, boom, that's happening. I like it when that happens. And this doesn't necessarily even have to be an every, I'll go ahead and make this stipulation now. It doesn't even have to be like an every year. Like some of these ones were, you know, the holiday
where they hit every now and then.
Yeah. We can add those into the list too, because some of those are pretty special when that happens. It kind of is an extra little bonus, makes it extra exciting when that stuff happens. So I like that. And I wanted to, you know, get us thinking about more happy times when there are these sporting events that we can watch during holiday periods and the unfortunate absence of one of our favorite ones this year. So who's going to go first?
I'll let you go first since your birthday's tomorrow.
Well, thank you. With that, I'm going to go with the NFL on Thanksgiving. So I think it's, I don't know if there's a sporting event that is more synonymous with a holiday, perhaps, than the NFL on Thanksgiving. I mean, it's like the three F's: food, family, football.
Yeah, you stole my number one pick, but yeah.
That would be the number one pick of a lot of people, I think. But
it's got to be.
It's so pure. And I think there's something about the tradition of like the Lions always playing and the Cowboys always playing. And now we get the bonus third game too, which is nice, the nightcap. So I do enjoy that, but it's just, there's something about like you're either over at you're at your family's house or maybe you're at home doing Thanksgiving, and there's the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, and it kind of rolls right into that Lions game, and you know, you crack your first beer at about 1:30 or so, and it feels pure. There's just something good about it.
And you had a Bloody Mary prior to that first beer at 1.
Yeah, yeah. You're just it's all part of the day, right? All part of the
just
tradition.
A Turco tradition.
I don't think I've actually ever had a Bloody Mary on Thanksgiving. Maybe I should start adopting that.
Well, you know why I do it? Because Thanksgiving, I eat a light lunch. My mom makes a later Thanksgiving dinner, mm-hmm. typically like 5 o'clock.
Okay.
So
yeah,
it's literally dinner. Mm-hmm. And so I eat a light lunch, but I have Bloody Mary with it. You know, it's kind of a snack in itself.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's like the plan. Like that's that. Maybe that is a Turco tradition then, because yeah. We eat a later Thanksgiving.
Yeah. We're more of the 3:30 group more often than not. But
so, right, you know what I'm going to do that is actually, I don't think it would have been number two on your list. Number one, I'll admit, was the Thanksgiving one as well. I actually am going to say New Year's Day college football bowl games. It's wall to wall, big games, the Rose Bowl. You got, you're coming off New Year's Eve. You're almost guaranteed to be hungover. You're almost guaranteed to have watched a lot of good football the night before too. But mm-hmm. at least that mm-hmm. night you go to bed and wake up feeling a little bit shitty to say, you know what? I have awesome football on today. And it's just a great feeling. I love that whole time period. I could have easily gone with just pretty much any day during bowl season because I love the bowls. But yeah, I'm going New Year's Day.
That's a really good one. And I know it's lost its luster. I'm doing air quotes there over the last couple of years. But the New Year's Day, especially when you get the CFB playoff to fall on that New Year's Day, I mean, yes. That's
huge.
What every 3 years, right? When the Rose Bowl hosts, and that there's just, I mean, the Rose Bowl is a spectacle in and of itself. I mean, it's the granddaddy of them all. I don't
You're
care
looking
if it's
live.
Yeah,
I love it. I think of Musburger every time.
There's something about the sun setting and catching the Sierra Nevadas, I think they are right there, or the Cascades, or whichever mountain range is right beyond. I mean, it's picturesque, it's beautiful, and it's part of a tradition, and I love it. There's something about that every year, and then it's just a bonus if it's the CFB playoff. So that's a great one too. That's a great pick. All right, my number two, a little bit different. I feel like the baseball 4th of July one's kind of off the board because that's what spawned this whole thing. So I'm going to take baseball, but I'm going Memorial Day because there is something about Memorial Day because like everybody's off and they usually run like some big day games that day,
and everyone has the their logo with the American flag in it,
which is those hats
or
are
no
terrible,
the camo ones.
Yeah, the I'm not a huge fan of that kind of look because I don't know. I just think it's kind of cheesy, but I do love it's a Monday. I'm not at work and there's day baseball on. Like this is a great way for me. Maybe I just had a big Sunday, right? Like you're just kind of relaxing. Maybe you got a cookout going on Monday and you're going to do something then. And it's great to throw it on while you're by the pool or grilling out back or whatnot. I mean, any day that you can get, you know, sports during the day on a weekday when you're off is like kind of, there's that little extra tingly feeling because it's like, ooh, this is like a bonus, you know. There's always like Saturday and Sunday day games, but now to have a Monday day game too, and I'm not working, there's just something pure American about that experience as well. I love it.
And it's a sport. I think a big deal of that is Memorial Day is always synonymous with grilling out and maybe doing something by the pool. Having baseball on when you're outside as a background sport is the best because it is naturally slow down and grill is Kingsford Charcoal's motto.
Yep, yep.
It's literally, that's what baseball is. Slow down and chill. I mean, that's what it is. It's so much fun just to have that on in the background. And then you get drawn back in when you hear the crack of the bat and the announcer tell you that the guy just hit a triple. I mean, that crack of the bat to me is such a great background noise because you hear the pitch hit the glove and you're not looking up. Yeah, but you're not looking up. You're doing whatever you're doing. You may look on your phone. I may be talking to you on the couch, but then you hear the bat crack and someone got good contact. You immediately look up. Nothing makes you look like that noise. And it's to me, I'm with you. That's a great pick there.
All right. What's your number two?
Number two, this one actually might surprise you. But for some reason, all I can think about is whenever the Masters falls on Easter Sunday.
That's a great pick. It was on my list. Was it? I almost went with it at number two, but I decided to let that one sit just in case.
I mean, not only is Easter a springy holiday, it's on a Sunday. You always work on that Monday. So it's not like a Christmas or New Year's Eve where it has anything to do with drinking or partying. It's just like you're slowing down. You're going to find yourself on a couch. You're going to have a big dinner. And then you're going to watch the Masters with that slow announcing and the beautiful scenery. To me, that is just a holiday that for some reason always runs synonymous with the Masters.
Well, it's perfect because like Easter, you know, you go to church in the morning and then you come back and it's just kind of a casual Sunday. Maybe you're with some family, most likely. And, you know, it's almost like a Memorial Day type deal, right? But it's a little earlier in the year, you're cooking indoors instead of outdoors, and golf's another great sport to just have up on the TV while all that stuff's going on. And maybe some people are cooking and you're the one that's lucky enough to just be able to park on the couch with some wine or a beer
I'm
or whatever.
To be able to say that's why I picture the Masters. Because I'm like, well, no, I can't cook. I mean, the Masters is on. What do you want me to do?
Yeah, that is that's also another one where with my current job, I mean, I can't watch the Masters all day on Sundays because I work on Sundays during baseball season. But if it's on Easter Sunday, we don't play on Easter Sunday. So like that's like the perfect storm to potentially set up for me to be able to sit there and truly sink in and take in the whole Masters experience there again.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. That is a good one, man. That was another one. Honestly, when I proposed the whole like floating event tying in with a holiday, that was the first one that came to mind for me. All right, I got to think here. My number three.
Do we do three or four?
We usually do four. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I have two, so that's perfect.
You have two more.
I hope you don't snag it.
Yeah. I'll go. All right. Here. And this one, it's not always directly on the day. It kind of floats, but it's always tied to the weekend. And that is the formerly Pepsi 400, now Coke Zero 400, that is July 4th weekend normally. Okay. Now, it's not this year, and it's not anymore, actually. They changed it. Oh, I forgot. They changed that this year with the scheduling because they're trying to make it more dramatic, and that's the cutoff race for the for the playoff now, but that was before the schedule got all screwed up. So I don't know where it's going to fall into the second Daytona race is going to fall into the schedule. But that was just one where, I mean, it was called the Firecracker 400 for years.
Forever.
For a reason. When I think 4th of July weekend, that is an event I think of. I've gone to the race a couple of times. There's always a huge fireworks display after the race ends. And the cars run the stars and stripes. It's kind of like the baseball thing, you know. They're running the stars and stripes things.
It's very festive.
Yes, very much so. And while the Daytona 500 is obviously festive because it's the opener for the year, you know, Daytona getting a second race that is legitimately tied to a holiday is always special too. So that's not quite going to feel the same, I guess, now that it's not that that weekend, and that's kind of a bummer, but. That's still something, maybe they'll change it back eventually, but that's one I always think of when I think of 4th of July, not just baseball. I do think of that Daytona 400 mile night race that's been a part of my fandom since I was like 7 years old. So that's always one I think of.
That's a good pick. And I just was thinking as you were talking about that, and I said festive, and I'm picturing the fireworks and all that. One thing I think of every 4th of July, baseball's off the board, so we can't say it, but you remember in the movie Sandlot where they go out, they play a night game? That festive feel makes 4th of July so, like, heartwarming almost.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes when the Daytona 400 or the Firecracker or the Coke Zero, whatever it ends up being, it includes that because, you know, we had neighbors that grew up going to that race every year.
Yep.
And it just, you knew it was going on. You'd watch it. It'd be on in the background or you'd flip to it. It's that's another good one there. So my next pick here is NBA on Christmas. I know you're not a big NBA on Christmas guy. Lately, they've been playing football on that day too, so I'm flipping a little bit, I'll admit.
I love
the NBA on Christmas. They always have a big-time matchup. It's always something worth watching without question. And I think my favorite thing about that and the NFL on Thanksgiving, to go with your first pick, I just love, like, they do the garland at the bottom of the screen or for example, the Thanksgiving Fox might have a turkey behind
it. Always has the leaves falling and stuff like that.
Leaves falling at commercial or the bells and snow falling for NBA on Christmas. They make it so festive. They do such a good job buying into the Hallmark aspect of it.
Oh, yeah.
And it makes it fun. I mean, they know what they're doing, obviously, but it makes it fun. And, I mean, last year we had, like, James Harden and the Rockets versus the Warriors, I think. You know, those games are must-watch TV. Even if you're flipping to it, you're definitely flipping to it.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
You're not an NBA guy on Christmas, but you're flipping to see the score and watch a possession or two because it's always a good matchup, superstars and, you know, the whole nine.
Yeah, I think that's just like the one day of the year that I think my family just like draws the line. They're like, all right, you just got to take a day off. So I'm not sure.
You don't watch sports on that day?
No, not usually. I mean, occasionally when we go down to my grandparents' house, they might throw it on the TV and it might be just like, it's like a background thing. Like there's no sound, like nobody's, it's almost the opposite of the Thanksgiving where we actually like go make that appointment viewing. It's like, oh, somebody's got to, Gramps, where's the remote? We got to get this thing going on. Do we know how to work this thing? You know?
Yeah.
But
when was the last time you turned this on?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So I actually, it's funny you say that because my family Christmas party is always in the beginning of December. So it just made me think when you said y'all don't, you know, you got to take a day off. For me and my cousins, it's like the first week of bowl season is that super shitty bowl. Mm-hmm. It's like UL Monroe versus UL Lafayette every time for some reason.
Yeah, or
Miami of Ohio, and it's in the Louisiana Superdome or whatever. Yeah,
R&L Carriers Bowl.
Yeah, usually it is that. Yeah. So, and I do the bowl pool, as you know. I do it every year. Been doing it my whole life, literally. And we sit down and we all compare our picks for the next weekend, and we watch the tip off to bowl season or the kickoff to bowl season, rather. And the teams are terrible, but it's just so much fun that we're all gathering around kind of watching bowl season together. So I love how sports does that and brings you in. Although I totally get family time minus the TV on.
Yeah.
But it's typically, you know, you're busy enough to where it's kind of a background show anyway.
Now that like TBS runs the Christmas Story all day thing too.
All day.
Like that, and that's like a family tradition of ours. We watch that movie every year. It's like a big thing. So like that's like our background now. Like we'll just turn it on and keep the sound real low and just let it roll.
Don't you feel like when that turns on, every time you look, you're like, I'm at the same spot.
Then I just see the same.
I only pay attention to the exact same spot every year.
I've watched the same
10 minutes of that every year.
I think I end up piecing it all together eventually. And then one time I'll usually watch it like actually start to finish because I had the DVD and everything. But I'll do that before Christmas when I can actually sit down and pay attention. There is something to your kind of whole point about the bowl thing, though. And this is not to get too far off here before we do our final round pick. But there's almost a sense of holiday about like the start of a season, right? Like opening day in baseball, first weekend of bowl week where like that Saturday they play bowl games all day and they all suck, but it doesn't matter because it's like the start of something new and fresh.
Good
opening
point.
Day of March Madness. It's like, ooh, man, this is exciting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, that it's peak excitement, too, because it's all ahead of you. You can't wait. That's why Thursday is my favorite day of the week. It's peak excitement. It's like, dude, we did it. Tomorrow, I could put it on cruise control and get through a Friday. You kidding?
Exactly.
You know, I'm going home, and the second I get home, I'm cracking beers and starting the weekend. But I am a huge, huge Thursday fan, by the way. I could talk about that all day. But is it my pick Thursday or your pick?
You just went with the Christmas NBA, Christmas. Right. So my final pick. What should I go with here?
I have a really random one.
I got one here, and it's Labor Day college football. So that whole weekend is it's always week one, and now we have week zero. But I don't think week zero has done anything to diminish week one.
I was going to say, thankfully, it hasn't watered it down at all.
Yeah, if anything, it's just almost like an appetizer for this unbelievable buffet that you get on Labor Day weekend with what is now, we're blessed with these in the college football playoff era in which these teams schedule these kickoff classic games again because they're looking for a pelt on the wall to hang early.
Yeah, 12 years in advance.
Yeah, exactly. But we get these big-time matchups on opening weekend, which is we didn't when we were kids really all that often. No. So that, and more of them, you know, we'd get maybe one to two, you know, like Florida State, Miami would play Labor Day weekend, but the rest of the weekend would stink, you know, it'd be Florida hosting Charleston Southern. And you're like, all right,
I mean,
well,
we have Alabama, USC this year, not that USC is what they were, but Florida State, West Virginia. Yeah. I mean, these aren't, that's for us that hits home, of course, but
yeah, I mean,
yeah, in the past you've had last year, Oregon versus Auburn right out the gates. I mean, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, so that there's that whole weekend is sort of, and the fact that you get Monday off, and it's college football on Saturday, college football on Sunday, college football on Monday, and it's kind of this, like the NBA, NFL kind of bows out because, right, it's the final preseason week. Nobody gives a shit. They're just checking to see who got cut on Thursday night after the game ends, after the last preseason game ends. And it's just like, all right, get me to next weekend when the season kicks off, Thursday, I guess, when the season kicks off. But in the meantime, it's like, instead of having the stale taste in your mouth from week four of the preseason, which is just a joke, which I guess we're not going to have anymore. Once, you know, all this stuff kicks in to effect with the new scheduling, but yeah, to flow right into that, like just that big college football weekend. I mean, we were at your house last weekend. It was great. I'd gotten lucky a couple times where, you know, JU was playing on an
last
off
year.
Day. Yeah, yeah. Or sorry, yeah, yeah. Did I say last? I didn't mean last night, obviously.
No, that's okay. You said last week, but I was like, I don't remember you coming over.
Yeah, no. but last year, like it worked out where I was in town for it, and we got to watch the, you know, three quarters of a decent game with Florida State Boise before that meltdown of the fourth.
That put a huge damper on the rest of the night because we had another game. I think it was Washington and someone. I can't remember. For some reason, that's in my head. And then the year before, it was a tradition at my apartment prior to living in this house. We had a huge, or was it 2 years before? It was 2 years before when Florida State played Alabama. We had a huge
17.
Labor Day weekend to where that day you came over at noon. And we had awesome football on all day. It was an absolute marathon.
Last year I was over for game. Like, you know, you could start it with game day on that Saturday. So you can come over, you know, you start watching at 10:30. You don't turn the TV off until like 2 a.m. if you don't want to. I mean, it's crazy. Then just the fact that you get the huge dose on Saturday, you get a game or two on Sunday, and then usually you get one more big matchup there on that Monday, and
one
it's
more
just,
to look forward to.
Yeah, it's great. That's an underrated, I think, holiday weekend for sports, but it turns out to be a pretty good one.
It's
and I think
funny
I
that. Go ahead.
Did I steal yours on that? By the way, I saw
you did.
React. Okay,
you did, but that's okay. I had a backup that's very very unique, and I for some reason love this because I like this holiday. Halloween. When it falls on a Monday or a Thursday, just midweek football. So you get Monday night football or Thursday night football.
Yeah, yeah.
Our neighborhood growing up, it was always a big deal. you had the little neighborhood parade and all the kids would go meet up at the pool and then walk around, get candy.
Pizza.
Yeah, exactly. I could care less about candy. I was there for the pizza. Eat some pizza and then walk around with your buddies. And then you go back in. You're home by 8 and you're catching the beginning of a football game. And I also just love the optics. I'm a sucker for marketing. I love all the fans dressed up and they find all these ridiculous fans. I think it's fun. So truth be told, I would have taken Labor Day weekend college football, but I do really truly enjoy NFL that when it falls on Halloween, it's just an odd day. And I'd always come in after that. My mom would make pumpkin seeds. I don't know. And I'd snack on that and watch football. When it fell like that.
Yeah. That's a unique one. I don't even think of that one, really, honestly.
Yeah. It's not something I'm like, oh, my God, we have football tonight.
Yeah.
But you end the night, and you're not just, like, done with the festivities. Right. You go nice in and nightcap. Watch a football game. Yeah. Exactly.
I had an honorable mention, another Labor Day weekend, but now that they moved the Darlington race, the Southern 500, back into Labor Day, and they do the throwback paint schemes, And NBC does like the throwback graphics and stuff like that. You want to talk about the marketing?
I didn't even know about that.
Yeah. So it's one of the oldest, you know, races that's tied to a holiday, if you will. And they lost it for a couple of years and then they brought it back.
Right.
And it's an old track in the middle of nowhere, South Carolina. So it feels old school NASCAR, right? As much as any track does still on the circuit. And they really embrace that with the throwback paint schemes and the NBC goes with like the old logo that night and everything. It's fun. I mean, they've even brought like Ken Squire and Ned Jarrett back into the booth in the past. And it's a fun one to like flip and check out for a little bit, at least for one commercial stretch there, just to see how cool all the cars look and everything. It's a neat one. Yeah.
Just as a quick throwback.
Yeah. I mean, usually I'm trying to balance that with the college football on that Saturday. So it's kind of tough to really dedicate a ton of attention to it, but it's a fun one, and it just falls right into your whole, like, isn't it fun when these networks do special marketing things when it comes to a holiday?
And that's why those guys get paid the big bucks, because, you know, when we were growing up and it was the Green Bay Packers in Detroit on Thanksgiving every year, mm-hmm. Detroit was horrible. And they wear their silver helmet and plain blues, and nothing about their optics looks good. They need to make the set look good, and they do. They do a great job. The cornucopia on the table.
Ooh, nice pull there with the.
Yeah, thank you.
That's well.
We should
done.
End with that.
Yeah, we probably should. And then don't forget I don't know if they still do it, but they used to hand out a Cletus trophy every year. So.
Oh, that's right.
Really, yes. It was really dumb.
Fox did, yeah.
Yeah, and like a whole turkey, dude, like whoever won. I don't know. It was
bizarre. I love that now they do Fox during the day. They have a divisional game from Fox, a divisional game from CBS, and then at night they have the Sunday night crew for NBC. Yep. I think they do a great job splitting those up.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Oh, this has got me jazzed up for some sports on a holiday, and hopefully we'll have some on the next. We won't have anything in particular on this coming 4th of July.
So what, but, crossing fingers for Labor Day? That's our next
shot? I guess
shot?
That's our next one we're looking for. So hopefully.
Okay. Wear your damn masks.
Yeah. if you want our boys, wear your face mask this summer so our boys can wear their face masks this fall.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, I retweeted that. It's a guy. He's a sports personality, Wes Blankenship out of Atlanta.
I was hoping it was like Gundy making the news again.
No. Yeah, Gundy with a positive thing to say. Yeah.
You know, Oklahoma State now is like, to Mike Gundy, his PR firm is like, please don't say a word. Please don't wear shirts. Like, don't do anything. Just don't do anything. Cut the mullet. Do whatever you got to do. We can't be seen.
Gundy, we're going to need you to self-quarantine for a little bit.
He's like, but I don't have any symptoms.
No, you know what? It's okay. Yeah. Well, I had it and I was standing next to you, so you might not want.
Play it safe for a month.
Yep. Just play. Hey, you know what? Give me your phone too. So we'll just
28-day quarantine. It's special for you, Mike.
Oh, man. Well, I look forward to, even if there are no sports, using my ice mule cooler this weekend for 4th of July weekend, Independence Day, as it's formally or known. I still believe it's known formally as Independence Day. You can also enjoy one as well. If you use our promo code SportsPAR15, more and more people are going on there buying the Ice Mule coolers. Nothing but rave reviews. So summer's not getting any cooler. Let me tell you that. We're looking at mid to high 90s for the foreseeable future, and you're going to want a way to keep your drinks cold as you partake in as many outdoor activities as possible. Because not a great time to be indoors around a lot of people. So I would recommend staying outside and staying cool with your drinks from your Ice Mule Cooler. Promo code SPORTSBAR15 for 15% off at checkout.
I thought you were going to wrap us with that.
I was. You had a look on your face like you were going to say thanks or something like that.
No, you said great it perfectly. Job. Well, Scott, I will say this. I'll end this show with a happy birthday.
Thank you.
This is the last time I'll talk to a Scott in his 20s. So yeah, I'm very honored to have been doing this podcast with you for probably, we're coming up on our year anniversary. I'm also happy we figured out that we have a birthday week to celebrate. We'll do a better job at marketing that next year and actually celebrating it. Maybe we'll do something each day of the week between our birthdays. Yeah. But Scott, really good to be back with you.
And one more thing. It's also a milestone for this podcast, episode 50. This is episode 50. So how about that? 50 episodes Woo-wee. As we approach our one-year anniversary in the books. And we want to thank everybody that has joined us so far on this journey. I know we've got a very loyal
Yeah, birthdays, brain surgeries.
Yeah, brain. Yeah, no doubt. Sicknesses, all sorts of stuff. So
yeah,
who knows what the next 50 episodes have in store? But hopefully, more good stuff. Thanks again to our loyal fan base, and for those of you out there, if you feel so inclined, give us a little review and rate us on Apple Podcasts. And I don't think you can do that on the other two platforms, but we are available on Google Podcasts and Spotify as well, if you're so inclined to listen to us on those platforms. And we hope that you all have a great transition to the month of July. Happy Independence Day, 4th of July, to all of our listeners. And we look forward to catching up. Oh, it is the one-year anniversary. You know when we did this last year? I just realized that we recorded our test episode on the 4th of July last year, I think.
Oh, that was an absolute train wreck.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I was right around that. So we'll just say it's a birthday for the podcast, too. Might as well throw that out there.
Man, birthday week. We'll need to remember that. Birthday week for me, you, and the podcast. And the pod.
Yeah. So much good stuff going on right now. Such a nice to have a fun, positive show this week, too.
It was. Good to have you back. Happy the whole time.
Yeah, yeah.
And I needed that.
Yeah, we all needed it.
We all did. You drove like a banshee. Hell of a podcast. We'll tune in next week to the Sports Bar Podcast. Scott will be older. I'll be the same age. And we'll have plenty more to talk about as we approach the start dates in the MLB and in the NBA. And I can't wait. And for Scott, I'm Alex. And I'm signing off for us today with the Sports Bar Podcast.